Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Brothers and sisters, glad to see everybody. My name's Greg. Obviously, my name is not Brent, so my feelings will not be hurt at this point if you said, ooh, thought that was Pastor Brent. He is on a well-deserved adventure today. I'll let him tell you about that when he returns, but we're glad that you're here, and I'm very privileged to have this opportunity to be here with you today. I should start immediately by thanking my friend and my sister, Monica Clark. If you were sitting anywhere close to me over there about 15 minutes ago, here's what you saw. As I went through my bag going, I know I put those notes in here somewhere. Well, as it turns out, I did not put the notes in here somewhere. So that was kind of a bad feeling. And actually today, we're going to talk together about disappointment. I was a little disappointed in myself about 15 minutes ago. So I said, Monica, can you come to the office with me? It's an emergency. And she and Dropbox.com bailed me out. So Monica, thank you for that. Thank you for that. bear with me as I do a little more shuffling. Again, I appreciate the fact that you all entrusted me with this special privilege this morning. And it's a very humbling experience, and it should be a very humbling experience. My folks are here from far rural Virginia Beach. Some of you thought there was no such place, but I assure you that there is. And the fact that they're here means that no matter how this goes, I have two people to have lunch with, right? So that's good. That's good. There are a few young men in this room that I've had the pleasure and privilege of coaching on the baseball field. So fellas, you know who you are. Look at me for a minute. If Coach Greg does this, it means get somebody up in the bullpen because I might be struggling up here, okay? You guys good with that? All right. Let me tell you about Pastor Brent for a second. Everybody knows that Pastor Brent's a good shepherd. We appreciate that about him, but let me give you a real story about something that happened this week that just reminded me of what a good shepherd he is. So I'm a procrastinator. I tend to be a last-minute kind of guy. I'm not proud of that. That's not a badge of honor, something I work with. If you're a procrastinator, I'm sure you work with it too. Pastor Brent was very patient and very gracious, but as I sent him information this week, piecemeal, that I wanted to use today, I sent him a couple of quotes that I thought were very, very good, and you'll see some quotes here as we go on in a few moments. But he came back to me and he said, hey Greg, and I'm not going to name any names, it was a very well-known name nationally, he said, hey, some of that individual's teachings are not completely biblical. And I went, okay. Well, then we're not using that one, right? And then it gets better. It gets better. So one of the other quotes I sent him, which was just from a man's name, didn't know the man, but I love the quote, right? It was powerful and it was right on. He said, Brother Greg, that individual's a leader in the Mormon church. So as we say in the Edwards household, oopsie, right? So my point there is I was a little naive. I didn't do all my homework as I should have, but Pastor Brent was the gatekeeper. And he protects the integrity of the message and of this body of believers. And that's exactly what a good shepherd's supposed to do, right? So I give him glory for that, and he let me come anyway, right? So thank you, Pastor Brent. My goal for the next 20 or 30 minutes, folks, is really just one goal, that God will be honored by everything we say and do here together. And if that happens, it'll be a very good day. So in the time that we have together this morning, let's talk about defeating disappointment. Whether you're 8 years old, 88 years old, or somewhere in between, you understand, you know that life is full of ups and downs, right? It's a bit of a cliche to say life is a roller coaster, but in the human sense, it is, right? We all ride those ups and downs. Most of us have enjoyed our share of victories in life. So let me give you a couple for me personally. Just this week, the Red Rocket, who's sitting back there at the soundboard, got his first varsity win in baseball as a pitcher this week, which made his father very, very proud, right? That was a victory in the Edwards household. The junior Edwards, who's also a ball player, has been playing his first season of middle school baseball this year as a sixth grader, which also makes his father very proud. Now, I didn't know that the eldest child was going to be here this morning. So she wasn't built in with her very own soundbite, right? But baby, you know your mother and I have always loved you best, so I don't have to say anything more than that. All right. So, we all enjoy victories in life. Victories are special, but I would say to you this morning that in the human experience, victories can be fleeting, but disappointments tend to linger. Disappointments stick with us for a long time. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, speaking of flipping switches, look at that. I'll let you all soak that one in for a minute. In fact, it's life's disappointments that we often remember most clearly. And if you'll allow me, sorry to continue to go back to the sports theme, but I'm going to go back to it one more time to illustrate the point. If you're of a certain age, you certainly remember ABC's Wide World of Sports, hosted by the legendary Jim McKay, who was just a great, great announcer and sportscaster. Again, if you grew up at a certain time, it's ingrained in your consciousness. And boys and girls, that was in the days before ESPN, when you had to actually wait to see your highlights, right? You were lucky if you got them on the 6 o'clock news or then on Saturday in Wide World of Sports. So here's the introduction to Wide World of Sports, and because it's so ingrained in our consciousness, you already know where I'm going with this. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and if you know it, and I know you know it, say it out loud with me right now, and the agony of defeat, right? And you're seeing that footage in your head right now, as I am. Wide World of Sports ran from 1961 to 1998, 37 years on television. And they ran many, many, many different images for the thrill of victory. But the one constant that we all remember happened to a young Slovenian ski jumper in Germany in 1970. And let me make sure I get the gentleman's name right. Vinko Bogataj. It was Vinko Bogataj who for so many years and still to this day epitomizes the agony of defeat. And as a sidebar, and this is a very important sidebar, Bogataj, believe it or not, only suffered minor injuries in that disastrous crash. And to his everlasting credit, as they examined him on the hill there, he actually said, "I want to go back up and jump again." You don't have to take my word for that. Look it up. There's plenty of interviews on YouTube. "I want to go back up and jump again." Not me, folks. It was windy that day. The snow was falling harder. He was inexperienced. He was young. Even when he got to the the medical people patted him and said, no, come on over. In the ambulance to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, he actually called back to the slopes and said, "I'm coming back. I want to jump again today." That didn't happen, but it wasn't for a lack of desire on his part. He didn't remain in his defeat and in his disappointment. And that's an important lesson for all of us. And I'm just going to drop that right there if y'all don't mind. So, what about us? How do we deal with life's recurring disappointments? Well, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had something very profound to say on that topic. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I've never seen that quote before. So we can debate how we should define infinite hope. This is just the Edwards definition for the purpose of discussion today. Infinite hope is the promise of an eternity spent in paradise with God, paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's infinite hope that we as believers share. And every disappointment that we suffer should be measured against that infinite hope. But in human existence, in day-to-day life, that's not always how it works, right? For any of us. So, and as I go through these scriptures today, they'll be here on the screen. I encourage you, if you like, to open your Bible. That's always a good idea, but they'll be right here. Psalm 42:11. "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" The psalmist talking to himself, right? Y'all do this? You talk to yourself? You can admit it. It's okay. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" And this is like a two-part, right? Then he turns it around here and gives himself the advice. This is probably the birth of self-help right here, right? "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Why are we downcast and disturbed? Why are we so often disappointed? Well, we could spend the rest of today, tomorrow, and who knows how long making a list of the things that disappoint us, right? It's an endless list. But I'm going to run through a few here, and you can shake your head up and down if any of these resonate with you. Do friends and family disappoint you? Remember, you are friends and family too, depending on how the conversation is going. Do your children and grandchildren disappoint you? My father's shaking his head. No, he's not. Young people, do your parents disappoint you? They're not looking at you, I promise. You can shake your head. Your coworkers, the meal at the restaurant, your favorite sports team, Redskin fans. Anyway, hope springs eternal. The numbers on the scale this morning, did they disappoint you? You don't have to say yes. Politicians and celebrities, the weather, traffic, and all those people who have no idea how to drive, right? Do they disappoint you? At the very least. What about the reflection in the mirror? Does that sometimes disappoint you? Maybe not what you see, but who you are. Does it disappoint you? We're all downcast and disturbed more than we'd like to admit. Notice what the psalmist does there in the second half of the verse, though. Again, he's offering his own solution by reminding himself, put your hope in God. Here's a quote that made the cut, and rightly so. Dr. Charles Stanley, very well known to all of us. Disappointment is inevitable, but to become discouraged, that's a choice that I make. Ooh. God would never discourage me. Y'all believe that? God would never discourage you. He would always point me to himself to trust him. Therefore, my discouragement is from who? Satan, the enemy, right? He's the only one that wants you to be discouraged. Sorry, lost my spot. As you go through the emotions that we have, hostility is not from God. Bitterness, unforgiveness, all these attacks are from the devil, from Satan. I'm going to paraphrase Dr. Stanley here for a moment. Discouragement is a choice. God would never discourage me. Discouragement is from the devil. Wow. Do we always think about it that way? No, we don't. Should we think about it that way? Absolutely. So, disappointment is a dangerous state of mind, and this illustrates why. We're all disappointed, right? I'm not going to stand up here and say it is or it isn't a sin to be disappointed. It's a human reaction. It's natural, right? Life is full of disappointments. But if disappointment then leads to discouragement, which is a deeper, more lasting level, right? And if discouragement, now this is just my opinion, y'all can differ, this is not eternally significant, but if discouragement then leads to disillusionment, to me, that's where you really hit the wall. And what I mean by that is, when I hear the word disillusionment, I think cynicism, I think you've become jaded, your outlook on life has become very negative. That's not a temporary, somebody cut you off in traffic, you were a little discouraged. That didn't lead to disillusion. Well, hopefully not. Living around here, you never know, right? But disillusionment, it takes time to reach that point. That's the path the devil wants to take you down. He wants you to be cynical. He wants you to be jaded. Have you ever known an effective brother or sister in the kingdom who was disillusioned or cynical? You can't be disillusioned and be a faithful follower of Christ, right? Those two things are incompatible. And if you reach that point of disillusionment, what's next for you? Depression. Now you're losing hope, right? Now, or maybe you've lost hope. Now you don't want to come out of the house. You don't want to interact with others, right? There's no joy in your life. And I'm not casting stone, folks. I realize depression is an illness, right? It's not, you don't choose to say, boy, I'm just on the path to depression. That's where I want to end up. But it happens to many people. So understand, I'm not standing here in judgment. I just want you to see the progression. And then, of course, depression is the final step of defeat. And that's where the devil wants all of us, right? But look at where it starts. So think about that as you have disappointment in your life. One more. Now, for the hard part, brothers and sisters, you ready? Looking back at the outline for a moment, trust the no. What in the world does that mean? Trust the no. Well, Brother Ron was kind enough to read scriptures for us from Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. And if you'll forgive me or indulge me, I'm going to read them one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I'm going to come back to that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Very familiar verses to all of us. But by the way, the problem with familiar verses sometimes is they become too familiar. Right? We think we know what they say, but they always have something fresh to say to us. That's one of God's great miracles, is he can take these words on the page and I can read them today and they're meaningful. But I can read them next week and they're meaningful in a totally different context. Right? And the lesson there is keep reading them. Keep reading them. All right. So, here's where things get tough. Trust the no. My wife is a great student of the parent-child relationship, much better than I am. She is an expert in the parent-child relationship and all of the nuances that are contained there. When our kids were very young, Laura was a big believer in get them on a schedule and keep them on that schedule, right? And protect that schedule at all costs. Why? Why is that important? Well, as she liked to say many times, and I came to believe this was very true, Allison Edwards knows what I'm about to say, there's nothing worse than a tired child, right? Y'all have lived that, you've seen that. There's nothing worse than a tired child. Hand in hand with that kernel of truth is this. Every child needs to be told no several times a day. We understand this as parents. You cannot always say yes. You should not always say yes. You must not always say yes. Please, for the love of God, do not always say yes. Unless your last name is Frankenstein, you don't want that little monster living in your house, right? And none of us want to encounter young Frank in the checkout line at Kroger as he's screaming for the candy, right? Or at the table next to you at Applebee's while he's throwing french fries at you, or wherever you are, right? And if you're a parent, you've had that day where that was your child. I understand. We have. But that's not our goal as parents. And by the way, even if you always say yes, the world is just waiting to tell your little darling no, right? We all have to learn to accept no. We tell our kids no for many reasons, but mostly it's in an effort to protect them, to help them grow and mature, and to demonstrate that life isn't always about them and their immediate gratification, right? Now, I'm picking on the kids, okay? Don't be angry at me, kids, if you're sitting out there now, because now it turns. Now we flip the coin. As children of God, why should we expect to be treated any differently by our Heavenly Father? A loving father has many reasons to tell his children no. Look at the verses in Philippians. Present your requests to God. Does the scripture say that God's obligated to answer or affirm all of our requests? It says present your requests to God. As parents, we know that we cannot, should not, must not always say yes to our kids. We love them enough to suffer through the no. And as we all know, there can be some real suffering associated with the no, right? Usually drives the decibel level up in the house or the car or wherever you happen to be at that time. That's why I don't hear so well these days. Anyway, we love them enough to suffer through the no. Yet we, as mature believers, are disappointed when God tells us no. Remember that God is the wisest, most loving parent of all. You didn't get the promotion or the raise at work. You didn't make the cut on the team or get the call back to a second audition. You didn't get a call or a card from that wayward family member. Your Heavenly Father is standing by to guard your heart and your mind with a peace that transcends all understanding. So, God is good in so many ways, but he's so good about giving you the things that you need right when you need them a lot of times, just kind of manna from heaven, like Monica and Dropbox was manna from heaven this morning. Well, I had another episode earlier this morning that was very positive. Running around the kitchen, Caleb's on in the background, and Mandisa comes on, right? So, Allison was hoping I was going to do this in the song stylings of Mandisa, but sorry to disappoint y'all. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to read you some lyrics very quickly from the Mandisa song that'll be very familiar to all of you. You're an overcomer. Stay in the fight till the final round. You're not going under because God is holding you right now. You might be down for a moment, feeling like it's hopeless. That's when he reminds you that you're an overcomer. I needed that this morning. That was good timing. Thank you, God. So let's go back to Dr. Stanley for a moment. This is not the same quote. This is a different quote. Our Heavenly Father understands our disappointment, our suffering, our pain, fear, and doubt. Just coming out of the Easter season where we're reminded of the passion of the Christ. He's always there to encourage our hearts and help us understand that He's sufficient for all our needs. When I accepted this as an absolute truth in my life, I found that my worrying stopped. Wouldn't you like your worrying to stop? I would like my worrying to stop. Not putting Dr. Stanley on a pedestal, but his words speak for themselves. And it's something for all of us to consider and take to heart. Go back to the outline for a minute so you understand what I say, what I'm trying to say when I say trust the no. God is going to tell us no for good reasons, right? Don't be the four-year-old who got the no, right? So be prepared. Trust God when He tells you no. Now, as the old country preacher used to say, I want to bring this on home by rolling these two final outline points together. We all need shelter from life's storms, and we need to be constantly reminded that God's peace is far greater than our disappointments. God's peace is far greater than our disappointments. So I'm going to do that, illustrate it with two different pieces of Scripture. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 3, and this is just very affirming and exciting to me, and I hope it is to you. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. There's a couple things there. The shelter of the Most High, you will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You ever been out on one of those? A day very different from today, where the sun was shining so bright and the sky was so blue, and somebody that you loved happened to step in front of you to talk to you, and they acted as a human sunscreen, and you're like, ooh, don't move. Stand right there. Oh, that's perfect, right? Sat in the shadow, not in that case, not of the Almighty, but of a loved one or a friend, right? But imagine being cast in protection, in the shade of God, right? Man, to sit in the shade of God, that's exciting. And in the same way, because you can never take the boy out of the man. Anytime I hear the word fortress, I think of Superman's Fortress of Solitude, right? I'm thinking of the Fortress of Solitude. God is our Fortress of Solitude as we face life's disappointments. And ladies, God's fortress is going to be a lot warmer than Superman's Fortress of Solitude. Because let me tell you right now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. It's an ice castle, okay? So Laura Edwards is going to heaven, but not if it's cold. She's going to think twice. She's taking her blanket with her, I promise you, if it's cold in heaven. It's not going to be cold in heaven, right? It's not. It's not. Can't take it with you, but maybe you can take your blanket. All right. I'll pay for that one later. All right, y'all bear with me here. I want to read one more thing, and I have to need a little visual aid here as I drop stuff all over the place. I want to read something that Reverend Charles Spurgeon wrote in 1857. Because as we read down through those verses, we get to the part of the deadly pestilence, we understand. That's like a plague, right? The Black Death. But the fowler's snare is something that we don't really deal with too much in 21st century lingo. So this is what the great pastor Charles Spurgeon had to say about the fowler's snare in 1857. Satan is the fowler. He has been so and is so still. And if he does not now attack us as a roaring lion, roaring against us in persecution, he attacks us as the adder, the snake, creeping silently along the path, endeavoring to bite our heel with his poison fangs and weaken the power of grace and ruin the life of godliness within each of us. Our text is a very comforting one to all believers when they are beset by temptation. Surely he shall deliver them from the fowler's snare. So make no mistake, as we all know, the fowler is Satan setting daily traps for each of us, and they take all forms and fashions. All right. Jeremiah 23:11. If you all will indulge me, I'd really like to read this out loud together. Can we do that? Y'all just blast it out there. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Take that to heart. Take a moment right now and read that again for yourself, as I'm going to do. Plans to give you hope and a future. In this life, we never fully escape disappointment. The fowler, Satan, our enemy, wants you to wallow in your disappointments, right? Remember the pyramid? He wants you to be stuck in the mud of disappointment with the hope that you'll descend further down that mine shaft into discouragement, into disillusionment, and ultimately into depression and defeat. That's exactly where the enemy wants you. As Charles Stanley said, we have a decision to make. It's your decision. Nobody can force you down that road, right? Base your decision on God's word. He loves you. He loves you and gives you hope and a bright future. So in just a moment, we're going to pray, and there will be some prayer counselors in the back, because in this room, we all experience disappointment and defeat. My prayer is that for most of us, it's fleeting, and we return to the middle of the road where God's waiting for us on the narrow path. But maybe right now today, maybe it's a chain around your neck. Maybe disappointment and discouragement and disillusionment has weighed you down so much that it's hard to even get up and put one foot in front of the other. That is not unusual in the human condition. You are not alone. But God does not want that for you. Your brothers and sisters here at New Song Fellowship do not want that for you. There's a lot more scripture other than what we've shared together this morning that proves that God does not want that for you. So maybe the first step today is just to pray with someone, just to say, yes, I am disappointed. I am discouraged. I do feel defeated. That can put you on the road to restoration, to say, God, deliver me from this. So there will be a brother or sister in the back who would welcome the opportunity to pray for you. And so I would encourage you to do that. So let's pray together. Lord, you are a great and mighty God. And what a privilege it is to come together in your house with this body of believers here at New Song Fellowship, Lord, and just be blessed by the presence of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word, Father. We live in a world full of lies, false perceptions, twists and turns, smoke and mirrors, things that won't last, things that deceive us, traps set by the fowler. Father, you are greater than this world. You created this world, you defeated death on our behalf, and you stand with open arms to encourage us, to welcome us, to teach us. Father, I pray that each one of us, no matter how old we are, would be able to accept the no when it comes, and yet be encouraged to know that you have a plan for us, and it's bright, and it's hopeful. It's not defeat. It's victory. We won the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. And if we'll just remember that, Father, and put things in the proper context. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, and I do pray for any brother or sister who's here right now. The devil has caught them in that snare, and they're feeling the weight of disappointment and discouragement. And I pray that today they would take a few steps towards working through that with your grace and your power. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.